Snap Judgments for Snap Fitness is on a mission to help you feel fantastic. 1-300-736-736. Daniel's in Elwood to get us underway. Welcome, Daniel.
Jared, such a fun round of football, mate. I'll tell you what, every week now I'm just as excited for. The thing I'm excited for, my snap judgment, is round 23, Carlton versus the Pies at the G. I mean, I'm 33. I don't know if there'll be a bigger Carlton-Collingwood game that I've seen in my lifetime, to be honest. I think that game is going to have huge implications for how the eight finishes. And my question to you is, you know, some people are revving up Collingwood with their run home as a potential top four. How do you see it washing out between those two teams?
I haven't done my ladder predictor, Daniel. I leave that. I've got a special crew of ladder predictor people. I presume you've been at work this morning. But, yeah, sky's the limit, I reckon, for the Blues. And before we get to round 23, there is the rather beautiful round 22 match against Melbourne. But, yeah, I want to be rostered to Carlton games. That's my observation, Daniel. I want to be with that crowd. It was mad. The last 6 minutes of the second quarter, Carlton were feeling the adrenaline. They were playing on when they shouldn't. And then there was insufficient intent. I want to be with those people as many times as possible. Good people. Daniel, thank you. Barry's in Rye. Welcome, Barry.
Morning, Jared. Thanks for taking my call. Jared, I'm a Bomber supporter and disappointed like most of us, obviously. But my fear is that round 20, we play North Melbourne. And if we don't win that game, I think Ben Rutten's a goner.
Yeah, that's snap judgment territory. You're right on point there, Barry. Thank you. Phil's in Bayswater. Welcome, Phil.
G'day, Jared. I think six was the number we called, wasn't it? You'd take six and move on. It wasn't that easy. But Fly's got Collingwood playing a process that kind of looks like it stands up, and let alone the finals. I think the last two rounds of the year, Melbourne and Carlton, they'll be shagged before we even get to the finals at this rate.
Good flourish with the language, Phil, to get us underway on Monday. Thank you. I forgot to check how many I got. Did I go better than six? Yeah, I think I might have got seven. So I would have shortchanged myself. Michael's in Craigieburn. Snap judgment. Hello, Michael.
Yeah, good morning, Jared. Very happy Carlton supporter rolling in to work on a Monday morning. I've got my Carlton scarf and a bit of swagger. Yeah, just very relieved and reassured that I think we are going to be playing finals. We could have easily sort of, you know, dropped our heads. We're undermanned. We've got a few key players out. But no, it's a different Carlton this year. You know, really took it up the Fremantle. And, I'm just really excited. And just like the other caller said, round 23 against Collingwood. I'm already thinking about it and I'm really nervous about it. So, yeah, big game.
In the poll, Michael, of whether you can win the flag or not, are you a yay or a nay?
Nah, I think it's a bit early to start talking flags, but for now, I reckon we just squeeze into the to finals, which we haven't done in a long time, and we've proven that, you know, at our best, we can match it with anyone. So, if we can have the right players back come finals and play our brand of footy, I can't see why we can't, you know, really push the best team.
Michael, thank you. Dave's in Waterways. Hello to you, Dave.
G'day. How are you, mate?
I'm well.
Very, 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 very happy Carlton supporter. Isn't it great to see that Carlton supporters are actually ringing in this year? Fantastic. Question I wanted to ask, Carlton's going so well, who are we going to get rid of to bring in all the star injury players that are waiting to come back?
I love the way you're thinking, Dave. I'm pretty sure they'll find a space for Wietering when he's ready to return, if that's Friday night or beyond. Their midfield did such a good job protecting the defence and what we might have imagined were deficiencies down there, and their system held together so well. There's a lot to like. The biggest incident of the weekend is the Tom Stewart hit on Dion Prestia. Elbows are just so dangerous, and this is an awful incident. The sight of Prestia on the ground was nothing less than distressing. This will be straightforward when it goes to the tribunal tomorrow night, and it will swing entirely on what the penalty will be. The two others that come to mind, so Tom Jonas with a swinging elbow on Andrew Gaff in 2016, and Jeremy Cameron knocking out Eric Hipwood with a flying elbow in 2018. They're sickening incidents. Jonas got 6 weeks, Cameron got 5. I reckon Stewart's is four as direct comparison, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if he ended up with five. It has reignited the discussion about a red card in AFL. So I'm not a proponent of a send-off, but I think it is a worthy debate that should be tested in moments such as these, because this is the signature incident. Chris Scott spoke about the fact that there is no restorative justice in such a moment. Stewart gets suspended, but Richmond gets disadvantaged. There's no restitution for the Tigers when Stewart misses the next 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. A red card does that, but how do you apply it? So the most interesting aspect to me is I think the flinch reaction would be the worst intentional actions would draw a red card. And this hasn't been graded as an intentional act. It's been graded as careless, and the impact is severe, which is why it's in the upper echelons of recent incidents. So if we wrote a rule for the worst intentional acts, Stewart's elbow wouldn't prompt a red card, at which point we would all say, well, what would be the point of having it? The other aspect I was wondering is, would we expect to see it once a year, once every few years, or a dozen times a season? So I have asked, I haven't quite got that. Yes, I do. There have been 27 suspensions this year handed out in 2022 thus far. So 27 suspensions. You'd have to analyse every one, I think, to figure out whether a red card should apply in any of those 27 up until now. Yes, you could use the arc, but sometimes we don't trust the arc to rule a rushed behind, do we? Let alone a send-off. And the idea that was put forward, it's not without merit, that the AFL's worst fear is a player knocking out an opponent and then going on to win the Norm Smith in a grand final. But you have to run the alternative to that. The game's best player gets sent off early in the grand final for an incident that he is cleared of by the MRO and the tribunal in the aftermath. So to run one, you have to run the other. You've got to argue both sides of that coin. So I think I would put it like this. We currently lose our minds over 50-metre penalties paid for the protected zone and for those who can't stand still on the mark. How will we go if there's an unwarranted red card in one of the cutthroat finals? So I just think you have to argue both sides of that coin if you're going to have it. But this is clearly the signature moment. If you had a red card, you would want it issued immediately to Stewart and for him to be taken out of the game. But it's not graded as intentional. So how does that wash? How does that sit? Sean's in South Melbourne. Welcome to you, Sean.
Oh, hi, Jared. I agree with your theory on the send-off. That's a bit too hard to judge. You've made good arguments for that. Just on Stewart, I think it's the most severe incident since Gaff. The only difference being an elbow and a fist. Both players, Prestia and I think it was Brayshaw, have been targeted with the ball not in the vicinity. So I think Stewart deserves 8. I don't think he will get 8, but he definitely deserves 8. He was nowhere near the ball. And unfortunately, they don't intend to break jaws or knock people out, but they've got to suffer the consequences. And I think it's along the lines of Gaff. Of it, if anything.
Yeah. So I think the flying elbows are Jonas Cameron Stewart. So, but yeah, you and I are framing that differently. The tribunal, it's any number is in play tomorrow night. Any number. Dean's in Burwood. Hello, Dean.
Good on, Jared. Fantasy in AFL, what a joke. I mean, sent a bloke off for doing that incident. The draw's lopsided. It's key to make sure the AFL make more revenue. The interstate sides get 11 home games. It just keeps going on and on. So why do you want to make fairness in one incident which happens once every 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, so I'm interested in that. Would we expect it to be once a year, once every few years, or a dozen times a year? So it's really for those who prosecute it to add the layers in behind it for us. But it is a worthy debate. I'm not a proponent of it, but it is a worthy debate in such a moment. Anthony's in Craigieburn. Welcome, Anthony.
Yeah, good morning, Jared. Again, on the red and yellow card, if you are under the age of 23 and you're in the AFL system right now, 99% of these kids, players, we've been involved in the system for 5, 10, 15 years. We know what it is. We understand how it works. The AFL is so far out of touch here. Why do Richmond get a double whammy for that hit? Every other competition throughout the world can have red and yellow cards. You're always going to get debate. We had debate last weekend with a Carlton goal being touched by a fingernail. Always going to have these issues. We know what the red and yellow card is. The NFL have it. The NBA have it. World Soccer have it. The Olympics have it. AFL, we're out of touch. We need to bring some system into place because Richmond were the team penalised on the weekend.
Yep, there's no restorative justice to it, Anthony. Thank you. John's in Mount Martha. Welcome, John.
I'm actually not, Jared. I'm 2,000 kilometres north, and I never call on anything except international sport, but I will on this one because I've only came to AFL football 40 years ago, and every time I mention in high places something about why isn't there a sin bin or a red card, it always goes, the word red card is a red flag. You will never get it up if it's always the first word. It must be sin bin or yellow card, in my view.
Yep. So a sin bin for a X amount of time.
Correct.
Yep.
That then you bring in the red card, maybe, but the red card is stopping the debate. I can tell you, I've spoken to AFL commissioners plenty over the years and had some very tense moments about it because they remind me I know nothing about AFL, which is right. But I know plenty about sports, as you know. And it has to go. The main thing is there is a penalty if you knock someone out or do whatever his name did. If you do that, you go off the pitch for quite a while and it confuses the whole situation in terms of I've heard it all about positioning and all that stuff. It's different game. Bullshit to that. You go off the pitch and then you have a chance to think about it and you can come back in 10 minutes. And that will get up if these incidents continue to happen.
John, thank you. Yes, the sin bin was a big part of Origin last night, which Crash will join us after 11 to talk about that. Jake's in Sydney. Welcome, Jake.
Yeah, g'day, Jared. I'd just like to say I think we're missing the point of the send-off. I think it's a deterrent. It's like a speed camera that you know where it is. That I just don't think that Stewart runs past the ball and does that if he thinks he's going to get sent off. And I'd even say that I don't think that Dangerfield leaves his arm hanging out like he did on the Vlosten hit if he thought he was going to get sent off. That's I think we're looking at it the wrong way.
Yep. So in the aftermath rather than what it would do to the conduct. Peter's in Collingwood. Welcome, Peter.
Yeah, g'day, Jared. Two things, just briefly. I'm stunned that it's been characterised as careless. However, that's not the issue. I kind of agree with the chap who rang up the two calls previously that a red card is probably, I mean, the umpires clearly in the moment didn't understand the seriousness of what took place. And a sin bin would probably be the most appropriate thing to bring in in the context of our game.
Yep, so 20 minutes in the bin, a quarter in the bin?
Well, I guess that's something that would have to be worked out. I don't know. I haven't got an answer to that.
Yep.
But at least it would give, that period what did you call it? Restorative justice?
Yep.
I mean, we had a man down for 3-4 minutes, so we copped. There were multiple impacts from that moment of violence on the field, and I mean, in the moment I was incandescent with rage and saw it as deliberate and premeditated, etc. But I think the reality is that something like a sin bin, 10, 20 minutes would be appropriate or proportionate. And then whatever sanction follows afterwards, then that would be a much more sort of just way of dealing with this.
Yep, yep. No, excellent thoughts. John and Peter have articulated their case for the sin bin well. 0433 98 11 16, temper a mattress like no other. We're casting snap judgments. 1300 736 736. Jack Viney on Thursday night. That is leadership. Melbourne remind the comp of the benchmark. That's Cam. Ben in Mentone. Carlton snap judgment. Charles's Angels. And Michael, last week you said that's not St Kilda. I put it to you, that's exactly who they are. Snap judgments, then the means test. Coming up. Snap judgments after an enthralling round 15. David King to run the means test. What did it all mean? He'll tell us shortly. Snap judgments for Snap Fitness is with you every step of the way. Snapfitness.com.au. Cade's in Bayswater. Welcome, Cade.
G'day, mate. How you going?
I'm well.
That's the way. Mate, just back to the Tom Stewart incident. Now, look, this is very open to debate, I suppose, but I personally think that Tom Stewart is, well, Geelong's most important and possibly their best player. Now, in the context of Geelong's, I suppose, top four push, how substantial is the impact of the weekend's incident? I mean, I look over the next 4 weeks, they've got North Melbourne, which is, you know, it's going to be obviously be probably a walkover. But then after that, they've got, I believe, Melbourne, Carlton, Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. And then if it does push over to a fifth week, well, then they've got the Dogs at Marvel. So I'm just wondering, could this really set them back as far as, you know, possibly missing the top four and I suppose the bottom end of the eight?
Yeah, absolutely it could. Is last week, last year, their campaign really ended when Stewart went down with that foot injury and they were never the same team again. So absolutely it could, Cade. It doesn't do Richmond any good, does it? But the punishment for the incident will have a material impact on individual and team. That's certainly right. Dale's in Tasmania. Welcome, Dale.
G'day, Jared. How are you?
I'm well.
Good, good. Just, I guess, what's fascinating listening on Crunch Time when you're talking about Jordan Bogaoui and him potentially, you know, being looked at from a St Kilda point of view. There must be buyer beware from the St Kilda people or the hierarchy when you think about the value they got for Hanbury. Most of us knew that he was never going to be much good. His body had been pretty much broken down before he got there. Hill, I think they recruited him what he's done in the past, and then paid him a hell of a lot of money. And now they're thinking about doing this with Bogaoui, knowing what his past is. Like, I'm not a secured person, but bloody hell, they must be very nervous thinking they're going to pick someone they're not sure what they're going to get for potentially another 5 years. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm in that camp. So Dermot Brereton and Luke Hodge, they were such interesting listening, I thought, on Crunch Time. So it's there on the podcast if you didn't catch it in real time, as they made the case from the leadership perspective, from a board perspective. We came at that from all sorts of different angles. So thanks, Dale. David's in Brighton. Welcome, David.
Yes, hi, Jared. Great round of footy and great discussion. Thank you. It was good to see Collingwood get over GWS, who have been a bogey side of late for them. I just wanted to bring up the topic. And look, they left the door open with inaccurate kicking in the last quarter, as well as a couple of contentious umpiring decisions. And the one I refer to is the Darcy Moore one, where he's kicked it along the ground in the forward line of GWS. And as the ball's rolled towards the goal line, he's got a hand on the ball, and it should have been a rush behind. But the umpire overruled it, played a free kick to GWS. I would have thought in that situation they would have gone to a review. I don't know if you can recall that passage of play late in the game.
Yeah, you can't rush the behind from outside the goal square. So he really needed to get there and pick the ball up as he was getting across the line, I suspect, to nullify what had happened, but you can't concede the rushed behind from beyond the goal square. That's how the rule is interpreted. So when it happened, it was sort of hold your breath. Is he going to get there or not? And if he didn't, it was going to be paid. So it is one of those ones where there is an inclination to go, oh, that's rough, but that's actually how the rules applied. Good on you, David. Gary's in Box Hill. Welcome, Gary.
Yeah, g'day, Jared. Look, I just listening to this conversation with Tommy Stewart, and I think the other guy was right earlier when you start mentioning red cards, it just shuts the conversation down. In other competitions, you usually got like a yellow or something preceding it, a warning or whatever. But say, like in this case, if Prestia goes off, you could create the situation where the injured player goes off, the person who sends that player off the ground goes off as well. And then if that player doesn't return through injury or whatever, the player that's been sent off stays off.
Yep. So, in this case, it would work, Gary, but you'd have to workshop it. So I think this is an important debate, but you'd have to workshop it through every player who's gone off under the concussion rule where another player has been involved, and then you'd have to run all of that up the flagpole and go, so what did it look like? How many players were off for a period of time? How many who had no culpability ended up sitting in the bin for 20 minutes? Who makes the judgment call? So it's a worthy debate, but this one's the easy one. Of course it would apply in this case. So how would it apply to every other concussion incident that's happened where another player has been involved? And so someone should do the work. Gary, thank you. We could take snap judgments, and particularly the send-off, red card, Tom Stewart incident. Oh, Steve has sent through, Tom Stewart careless. You're telling me the same guy that single-handedly won the game with amazing snap decisions and hand-eye feats on display didn't know what he was doing when he got to Prestia in the head? I guess all his intercept marking and scoring launches were just careless. That's from Steve. That's well put, Steve.